If you can turn with me in God's Word, please, to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, verses 20 through to 23. We are going through the life of Joseph, and we have learned many wonderful and practical lessons in the Christian life of all tracing Joseph's life. And we've learned many truths and been able to apply them to our life. And we've been looking now at Joseph's time in prison. And this will be the third message in that part of the series. Remember, we spoke about his betrayal, temptations, and then his time being falsely accused. And now he is in prison. And so we've learned a lot so far. But Genesis 39, I'll read verse 20 down to verse 23. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with Joseph, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We'll just seek the Lord and ask him for his help. Father in heaven, Lord, we need thee just now. We pray, O God, that will bless the preaching of thy word. And again, Lord, as we seek to learn from the life of Joseph, Lord, above all, may be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, give us help in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many general lessons to be learned in life, which is true, but there are also spiritual lessons to learn as well. Lessons that will teach us more of God, his love, his grace, his ways, his works in our lives. At this stage of Joseph's life, God has permitted Joseph to enter into prison in order to save the nation. Therefore, God has brought Joseph from Hebron to Egypt in his own perfect will. It was safer for Joseph to be in an Egyptian prison in God's will than to be anywhere else and doing anything else out of God's will on his own accord. It was safer for Joseph to be in the prison, having suffered for righteousness' sake, than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt for his own sake. Joseph's life teaches God is in control. He is directing and fulfilling his own eternal plans, which center upon redemption in Jesus Christ. Therefore, God has chosen the life of Joseph as a picture pointing to Christ in his first coming, speaking of humiliation, through his second coming, which is his exaltation. All that God did in Joseph's life was to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and also to edify Joseph. And likewise, believer, we have learned already that all the way our Savior leads us, all the way your Savior leads you, is that Christ will be exalted through your life and edify you in your walk with God. And that's what we desire to be, as Joseph was, a channel of blessing. Lord, work through my life. We have noted in Joseph's time in prison that it was a painful time, a prolonged time, and a purposeful time. Now, as we consider fourthly, Joseph's time in prison was a preparing time. Again, verse 20. Joseph's master took him, put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. While God was preparing Joseph throughout his life, yet focusing particularly upon the years spent in prison, these were years, these were times of preparation. God was preparing Joseph for a day of exaltation, a day when he would rule over the land of Egypt. But above all, he was preparing Joseph for the preservation of the nation. God had a purpose in it all. And likewise, believer, God prepares you in the present for the future. All that God has for you to do in a future day, He prepares you day by day. When God pleases to use His people, or let me say it like this, when God places His people in a time of preparation, it is because He's going to use them and work through them. God never wastes a life. He prepares to work through. And that's what I want you to grasp. When God is preparing you, He's going to work through you. He never wastes a life. He's going to use. The Lord used trials in the life of Joseph to prepare him for the service God had planned for Joseph. You see, God put Joseph in the prison to have him at the right place at the right time. Joseph's path led through pain, rejection, shame, discouragement. He was hated by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was betrayed. He suffered temptation. He was falsely accused. Then he was sent to prison in all preparation that one day he will enter the palace, and we will get there, I promise you, to be a blessing. God did not exalt Joseph until he had finished his time of preparation. Always remember that. God did not put Joseph in the palace until he had finished the time of preparation. And through the process of preparation, each step prepared Joseph for the next assignment. He was placed over a family. Genesis 37, verses 2 to 14. He was placed over a household. Genesis 39, verse 4. He was placed over a prison. Genesis 39, verse 22 to 23. And then he was placed over a nation, as we will get to. Genesis 41, verses 40 to 41. And Joseph learns when he is in prison that the secret of waiting for God is to wait upon God. Trusting God's timing is trusting what is always right. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And that word, though spoken by King Solomon many years later, yet Joseph, in a sense, could know those words in prison. And in that hard time of prison, suffering all that he had suffered, Joseph still trusted in the Lord. He committed his way over to the Lord, knowing, as for God, His way is perfect. And Joseph went through this time of preparation, trusting God's word. Because remember, at the very start, God had given him that message through the dream that one day his brethren would stand before him again, that he would be in that elevated position. And so Joseph can hold on to the word of God. And that's the lesson through the time of trial, through the time of preparation, through the prison experiences of life. Always hold on to the word of God. God has a promise for you to depend upon, to lean upon. Therefore, like Joseph, stand, depend upon the promises of God, for they can never fail. Many people will fail you. Many things will fail you. But God's word will never fail you. Throughout Scripture, there are many examples of believers during times of a literal, emotional, or spiritual prison, we're prepared by the Lord for future ministry. Remember Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas. They were prepared for their future work as they spent time literally in a jail in Philippi. And remember, during that time of jail, as they waited upon the Lord, God providentially brought into their path, or brought them providentially into the path of the Philippian jailer, a man who was about to end his own life, but God had his people at the right place at the right time. And that man was one for Christ, and he believed on the Lord. And not only was one life rescued, but that man's family was rescued as well. Isn't that exciting? God could use you, not just, or let me say, God wants and desires to use his people, not just to see one soul saved, but to see families transformed by the gospel. 1 Kings chapter 17 through 18, the prophet Elijah had to go through the brook Kereth and then through Zarephath in order, times of preparation, to experience the victory at Mount Carmel. Step by step, God prepared him. So, believer, as God prepares you, whatever present experience that you're going through, don't give up. Don't lose heart. The prison experience that you're going through, and as I said, and we've gone through this in previous messages, those prison experiences, as I said, can be some are literal, some is in a literal prison, as some people have had. There's a dear man actually in Ireland, you've seen on the news, no doubt, in school, and we're not going into that right now, but all the different genderism things. But again, he refused to call, I think it was a girl, a boy, whatever it was. And then he said he depended and trusted in the word of God. And so he was sentenced to a literal prison for standing for righteousness' sake. And so in that sense, that man, that school teacher, is in a literal prison. Some prisons are emotional, financial, medical, and many more. And the prison that you go through, it may be to help another person. You could be a comfort in sorrow, a companion through sickness, a carer to support. You may experience a dark or many dark prisons in order to be a light in another person's dark prison experience. You could be that one to shine the light to a better day, to show them how the Lord has helped you, how the Lord has sustained you. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, as Paul speaks about the Savior, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The Lord may be preparing you, because the same prison experience will occur again in your life. That sickness that you once battled with may return. You may go through another heartbreak, another sorrow, soon another person to pass away in the family. And it does not mean it will be any easier, but the preparation does mean that you will be better prepared for that prison experience, that dark tunnel that you will go through. God prepares his people. How many believers have gone through, say, cancer and are going through cancer, and they're able to be a blessing and a help to another person going through that same situation, or someone who has lost a family member, or many more situations, and they're able to be that comfort and to be that help? You've gone through that prison experience in your life to be a light to someone else in their prison experience. God was preparing Joseph. In the life of Christ, we learn the places he visited, the people he shared the gospel with, those he had compassion upon, was all part of his ministry. The life that he lived all prepared him for the work he came to do, which was to purchase redemption for guilty sinners. Christ's sinless life prepared him to offer his life to be a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ examined the horrors of the cross, the wrath of God placed upon him. He endured the wilderness temptations. He faced his accusers, his mockers, because he came into this world to save sinners. And Christ went to the cross of Calvary as the light of the world. in order that men would have the light of the gospel shine in their darkened hearts. Joseph's time in prison was a time of preparation. God was preparing him for future service. God was preparing him to be the provider and the preserver of the nation. And while each one of us here, God has a different plan in our life, yet that plan for all of us will always at some point center upon redemption, because all that God does in preparing our life is always for the extension of his eternal kingdom. And what a blessing it is that the Lord desires to use his people for the furtherance of his gospel. Notice fifthly, and finally with a couple of points under, Joseph's time in prison was a providential time. Though Joseph was bound in prison, yet the ways of God and the works of God and the word of God is never bound. In prison, there was the keeper or the guardian of the prison, a position of responsibility and accountability. His job as the keeper of the prison was to make sure that no prisoner escaped. Otherwise, he too would face the punishment. And being a keeper or prison officer meant that he had the view and treat prisoners as if they were prisoners. Or let me just say, he treated them and viewed them as they were prisoners. None received or were to receive special treatment. In his eyes, they were guilty. In his eyes, they were put under his care because they deserved to be there. However, since the Lord is with Joseph, the Lord wonderfully intervenes providentially, and God works in this whole situation to give Joseph favor in the sight of the prison keeper, because that's what we read. He found favor in the sight of the prison keeper. The word favor in verse 21, where it says there, notice verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. That word favor is the word meaning grace. Now, to receive grace and favor in the sight of another is to first understand that one did not deserve that grace or that favor in the first place. Joseph did not deserve the favor or the grace of the keeper of the prison. Joseph, being the prisoner, he was viewed as guilty. He was accused. And therefore, that meant the keeper had all the right and all the authority to abandon Joseph. He was under no obligation to favor Joseph, to be kind towards Joseph. Rather, he had every reason to leave Joseph in that prison to suffer. And so if the prison or this prison officer was to afflict Joseph with hard labor, just as Pharaoh and his men did to the children of Israel, then he would have had every right to do so, because he is the keeper of the prison, and Joseph in his eye is guilty because in his eye Joseph has broken the law. Now remember, we are applying this on a human level, making spiritual application. Joseph has found favor in the sight of the prison keeper. And that's remarkable, because when we trace this word favor, this word grace, of someone finding grace and favor in the sight of another, there's a wonderful gospel message, because the same word is used in the book of Ruth. And in the book of Ruth, we learn in Ruth chapter 2, Ruth finds favor or grace in the sight of Boaz. And Boaz is a mighty man of Bethlehem. You remember, Ruth was a stranger. She had no position. She had no privileges in Bethlehem. However, God providentially moved and brought Ruth to the place where Boaz was. And Boaz set his love upon Ruth and drew her to himself. And in Boaz, Ruth found all that she needed, all the privileges, all the possession, all the supplies, all the protection, everything that Ruth did not have and did not deserve. She found it in Boaz. She found in Boaz security. She found in Boaz acceptance. He was the mighty man of wealth. He was the mighty man of Boaz. He was a generous man, a gracious man. And there Boaz of Bethlehem extended grace, extended favor, extended love to this woman who did not deserve it, but rather was a stranger, and he brought her in. And only when Boaz brought Ruth in did she find acceptance with everyone else and join the whole family of Bethlehem. I tell you, we'll go through the book of Ruth next. What a blessing. What's the whole picture? There's an application there because it teaches us Christ is our heavenly Boaz, our mighty man of wealth, our provision, our protection, our security, our acceptance. We were strangers to grace and to God. We did not deserve any mercy. We did not deserve any favor. In fact, we deserved to be left alone. Boaz was under no obligation to show favor to Ruth, but he did out of love. And therefore, the Lord is under no obligation to show favor to sinners, but he does because he came into the world to save sinners and he draws them to himself. And in Christ, we find favor, we find grace, provision, protection, love, security. All we need is found in Jesus Christ. And therefore, we deserve absolutely nothing. We are guilty, hell-deserving sinners. But through grace, through mercy, we learn that Christ has shown compassion onto us. And now we have been recipients of grace. We are sinners saved by grace, for this is our only plea. And that's the whole point. Joseph is undeserving. In the eyes of the keeper of the prison, Joseph is guilty. But he finds favor. He finds grace in the sight of the keeper. And he gets all the privileges that none of the other prisoners receive. Notice God's providence was seen by Joseph's conduct. Through the Lord's providential moving, God was working behind the scenes. He was turning the keeper's heart, whithersoever he would, to give favor in the sight of this man. You see, this keeper could see there was a difference in Joseph. Remember, Joseph was a servant among servants. He could see what Potiphar seen. Joseph remained the same, whether he was in Potiphar's house, whether he was in prison. He was faithful to the end. And when God leads Joseph to the palace and before Pharaoh, we learn he still remains the same, faithful. And there is a direct line to the Lord Jesus Christ. For no matter where Christ stood or whoever stood before him, they could see he was the faithful one. He was the very Son of God. He was the just one. They could see by his conduct the Lord was with him. In fact, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13, Paul writes to Timothy about Christ. And he says, Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. And the word confession is the word meaning profession. In other words, what you profess is what or who you confess. It is when your conduct and confession meet. When your profession is your possession. When your profile is your projection. The word witness means to give a record. It means to testify. It means to give an honorable account. And so when Christ stood before Pontius Pilate, The sinless life that he lived was shown before Pilate. He witnessed a good profession. I'm the Son of God, the Lamb come down from heaven. And he was that very one. Pilate could say, having spoken to Christ, having witnessed him, I find no fault in him. Therefore, believer, in the present experiences of life, witness a good confession. Witness a good profession before work colleagues, family, employers, students, teachers, before the unsaved. Witness a good confession. As Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good confession before many witnesses. When you say, God will bring me through a trial, God will never leave me nor forsake me, then witness that profession. When you believe and profess that nothing is too hard for the Lord, then believe and pray as nothing is too hard for the Lord, because by doing so, you witness a good profession. You testify to the truth of the gospel. He answers prayer. When you confess, God knows our needs and will supply our need, and he will not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly, then witness that good profession. Bear record, be a witness of it, because God provisionally worked through Joseph's life to show that his God had not changed, the unchanging God of heaven. Let me just summarize quickly the last 2 points. Joseph's, or God's, providence was seen by Joseph's chores. The keeper then committed to Joseph, or into his hand, responsibilities, duties, roles that he would give to other prisoners. He was given that place of preeminence in the prison. Joseph's works were basically that whatsoever he did, he was the doer of it. In other words, when the prisoners were put to work, Joseph worked as well. He was faithful in his tasks. Though he gave commands in prison, yet he got involved in doing the prison work. He was faithful in all the house, the responsibilities given over to him. He was faithful to it. And again, we see that in Christ, a greater than Joseph, one who was faithful, Hebrews 3, verse 1 to 3, faithful in all his house. One where Christ said, Matthew 25, verses 21 to 23, that he who is faithful in small matters, he will be given greater. And we learn that of Joseph. We learn that of Christ. Believer, learn that as well. The lesson for the preacher, the Sunday school, the child's worker, the prayer warrior, labor faithfully in the small things, and God will give you greater. That wee Sunday school or that wee small children's work that you have, take them and pray for them. And when you're faithful in that, God will give you more. Finally, God's providence was seen by Joseph's company. We learn with Joseph then was brought in the butler and the baker. Genesis 40, verse 1. They had offended their Lord, the king of Egypt, and God so providentially brought their paths together. God directed that they would be put in prison. And we'll learn as Joseph interpreted their dreams. Those dreams none other could interpret. Only God gave the message to Joseph. He was the man raised up for the day. And why do we know the chief butler, he forgot Joseph in 40 verse 23. Yet he remembered Joseph in chapter 41 verses 9 through 14. And he began to tell Pharaoh, there's actually a man in prison. He can interpret a dream as he interpreted my dream. And that paved the way for Joseph then to be brought in to the path of Pharaoh. There was no accident. There was no chance, but God arranged everything perfectly, that those men were brought into prison the same time as Joseph. And then when one was released, that made the way for Joseph to enter into Pharaoh's presence. Again, we see the link between Joseph and Christ. Just as God brought Joseph out of the pit in order to place him on the throne, so God brought Jesus out of the grave and placed him upon the throne of heaven. Just as God exalted Joseph to be a mighty ruler, so God has highly exalted Christ and given him a name above every name. Just as all men bow and his brethren bowed their knees to Joseph, so someday all will bow their knee to Christ and confess he is Lord. So Joseph provided bread for the starving nation and preserved them from death. So Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He is the salvation of sinners, and he provides all that they need. For this reason, it was only after Joseph had suffered greatly that he would be highly exalted. And so only as Christ went through the horrors of Calvary, so he would be highly exalted. Joseph's life points to the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, child of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted through your situation. You will go through trials. You will go through troubles. But God is always advancing his cause through your life. God is providentially leading you in the situations that you will have to witness a good profession. God is leading you in the situations where you will meet people that you never went or met before. I'll close with this illustration. As you know, the other week when the news had come with the passing of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, and you've seen the pictures, I went, got some flowers and put the message, a picture from the Queen, what she had said, a quote, and then also as well regarding the statement from the denomination. And as I was on the tube to Buckingham Palace, there was a dear lady who came in and she sat down and she had tears in her eyes and she said, "Are those for the Queen?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "Thank you." And then I began to ways to share the gospel. I began to show her the message that was on the Queen had said about salvation and things. And then also gave her a gospel leaflet. Began to speak to her about the things of God. Now, had I never gone on that day, I would not have met that woman. And so God brings us into people's paths at certain times. God works everything out for his honor and for his glory. What we need to do is be available for the Lord to work through. And so Joseph, God is moving in the midst, because as we'll find out, when the butler and the baker were in the prison, God had a message for both of them. And Joseph was there at the time to deliver that message. One was a message of life and one was a message of death. And we'll get to that another time. But God always has us at the time he needs us. He's always providentially working for his own honor and his own glory. May the Lord write his word upon our heart. For his name's sake, amen.